You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Quantum Leap Book Club. During the next hour, beloved mind scientist Parisha and her guests from around the world will read and discuss various best-selling books with well-known authors. Every show will apply retention techniques designed to help you to absorb powerful knowledge to effectively change your life. Join us every week for a thought-provoking hour and re-listen as often as you can. You will be delighted by what you learn, and you will be excited by the results. Are you ready to take the quantum leap? Here's Parisha.
Greetings. This is Quantum Leap Book Club. This comes to you from LOA's radio network. And we are here today again to talk about the wonderful book that we're working with, Mindfulness. I'm going to be your host, Parisha, and I have five beautiful ladies that work with me. And we have a very handsome, kind of young fella, at least in spirit, right, Mike? We have Joyce Mollenhauer, who is actually an RN that has studied and become also a homeopath. And we have Geraldine Dalby-Ball, who of herself has become actually a sister of nature and an environmental engineer, actually taking care of the forest and the natural world and keeping some protective security around things. And I so deeply appreciate that as being very much in nature myself. And then we have Trina Cooper in Denver, Colorado. And Trina is a very powerful entrepreneur and spiritual teacher. She actually brings spirituality and business together and actually fits it in a very beautiful model to follow and live fully aware. Okay, and then we have Marianne Love, who is a therapist, and she's in Melbourne, Australia. And so we have a couple of beautiful accents in here, along with our Rosemary. So we have a few things going. And Marianne actually has years ago, we've worked together. She started putting in what she would consider the healing practices of her spiritual studies into her practical practice and clinical practice. And now she runs a particular center that offers many, many wonderful opportunities for a person to find the inner path and actually strengthen and heal. And we have Rosemary Heyer, who's in Frankfurt, Germany. And Rosemary, for years, has actually been a tour guide and takes people through spiritual journeys and actually living through the dream of a journey that one would take only with someone as enlightened as Rosemary that could actually bring the deeper essence of what's going on. Presently, she's teaching English and doing interpreting. So we want to welcome her. And then we have Mike Dallara, who is in Melbourne there right now. We actually have Michael, who is in Montreal, Canada. And Mike's been with me for a number of years and has actually served on the board as well as leadership of our humanitarian organization. He's an engineer by trade, but also now has taken to teaching and is a professor in the college there teaching many courses. And Michael, one day you might want to share with me all that you're teaching and working with up there. And then we got Joyce, we got Geraldine, and we have Trina, we have Marianne Love, we have everybody at this point. Have I left anybody out? I keep thinking there's another person. So if you don't see them, it's okay. All right. They can just be present. Anyway, I want to bring us back to why I chose this book. Usually I have the co-hosts all work together and us find a book that we have mutual interest in. I kind of just dropped this in on them, and I appreciate how very supportive and cooperative they've been with that. But right now, with everything that's happening and all the political strife that's in the world, it's not just one country. Our world is in turmoil, and we're involved in shadows and darkness and things, the id that has come up out of politics and religion and everything else. Everything that we've ever felt gave us security is questionable right now. And so it's pushing us again back into ourselves and finding that inner strength and that inner being that we are, that we again have to look at something as simple as knowing to be an everlasting being, we must be more than a body and a brain. And so in order to do that right now, many people who I know have been meditating successfully for years are starting to have all kinds of things that they're saying is disruptive. They're not being able to settle in. They can't hold their focus and so forth and that. And I've had this little book for a long time, and I've actually taught what I would consider beginner classes to meditation I've taught from this book. And one of the things that was important to me is when I had read actually what the author herself actually said about what she, why she wrote the book. So Tessa Wyatt come up with some thoughts, obviously, and her life story is very interesting. So it'd be good for you to look at that, especially when you start using this book to ground yourself into a higher awareness and consciousness. And she says, do you rush through your day on autopilot, not fully aware of what you're doing? Any of that fit? Those for me. Forgetting stuff, missing appointments, wolfing down a sandwich you didn't even taste? Do you get stuck in your head, mulling over things that you wish you had or hadn't said? Who does that not approve, right? Does your mind spiral down into judgment, self-talk, or negative predictions? Oh, yeah. If any of this sounds familiar, mindfulness practice can help you. In mindfulness, she says, a practical guide, Tessa Watt often offers straightforward advice, case studies, and step-by-step instruction on how a practice-centered activity can actually bring us to a moment-to-moment realization. Now, grant you, I feel that I have definitely worked very hard in my 80 years and have accomplished great ability to focus and do a lot of very, very heartwarming things. But in a world of where you're torn between not being judgmental and trying not to put yourself against something, but seeing outrageous behaviors, hear the judgments coming, outrageous, okay, and actually feeling that I'm watching suffering that I do usually not even involve myself with. I see only solutions. Well, that's become to be threatened a little bit, and a lot of things that are going on have become personal. And when things become personal, then personal feelings and biases and even prejudices start to come up. So in doing that, I had already gone back to doing some of the mindful practices that I do just on a normal day. In fact, I've gotten habitually involved in mindfulness. And I've shared that many times with students I work with in that when I'm taking a shower, how I become mindful of my body and its needs. So that while I'm in the shower, I take each part of my body and focus on it as I'm touching it. And as I'm touching it, I use a lot of what Louise Hayes used to teach us by looking in the mirror and telling ourselves that how we loved ourselves. And so I would do that with each part of my body and with every part, and never having even any physical concerns of anything, just appreciating the body, its functions. I would talk to each, I'd lay my hands as I'm cleansing my body on the different places where my systems and organs would be, and appraising them and appreciating them for the giving, you know, everything that I need to have the physical life that I have, and being grateful, and doing that all the way down to my feet. Okay, and I do that. I still do that. I started that, I don't know how many years ago, it has been 40 years or better. And I have continued to do that. And that's mindfulness. And there's so many ways we can do it. And we're going to be sharing today in today's particular sharings and co-hosts will do. We will actually share with you some ideas you may want to start. I do mindfulness when I'm sitting in traffic. I do mindfulness when I'm starting a new project. I do mindfulness like when I shift from one activity to the other. I create an environment just for what I'm getting ready to do. And I fulfill that environment by doing a locational, meaning everything that I need to fulfill what I'm about to do, I touch it or I give immediate eye contact and description to it. And I include it in my bubble. And then it begins to be the support in every particular act of action that I need. And by mindfulness, I really mean that. I take time looking at my computer. I actually look at, there are times when I'm being very focused on the computer, I realize I haven't cleaned the computer screen for a while. So then I'll actually get the cleaning things on, and I focus on this being a huge window. This computer screen now becomes the universe to me. And then I just let my mind go with that. And all kinds of wonderful reflections come back. But mindfulness is something you want to integrate at a level of integration, not just something, read the book, grab a couple of ideas and throw it to the side. You actually want to do the practices, and you actually want to feel the outcome difference for yourself. We, even in the point of anything you're doing, I do, like I shared what I do in my shower, but I also do it with my teeth. And we're actually going to discuss actually brushing our teeth in mindfulness. And we, everything that I do, I become mindful. And when I started realizing that I was working with people who had a very scattered focus, turbulence almost, of where they could never stay focused even for a few seconds. And then again, I work with a lot of people that are ADHD. And so I started looking at, there has to be something other than medication to help that. What can change that is mindfulness and actually being in the time, like how many of us, and we teach it, that we have to stay focused in the moment. But do you? Are you? Okay, and how are you guaranteeing that? So basically, the big jump leap, quantum leap I'm looking at here is seeing that people stay right now, even for 2-3 minutes, in the same place, being totally present and present within something that you can actually say, I did it. I actually stayed very focused on what I was doing right now, and stretching that, having longer periods of time of that awareness. And when you get into this mindfulness, then you begin to see meditation come to you in a much, much stronger way. And so this is where we begin and we start today. So I've asked the co-host to actually study and read some parts and actually share with us through the week. They've been reading and studying. And so I've asked them to share their results on some of the material that they've read and actually share with you what they got out of it, how it's affecting, and or if it is or is not becoming something effective for them. So we're actually going to start today, and we'll have Marianne Love start with us when she talks about the journey without a goal. Okay, Marianne.
Hi, yes. So we're on page 23, and just exploring this, she really shares with us just the intention, I guess, behind doing mindfulness and some of the benefits that we can get out of it and things to notice. So, you know, it can really help us drop our judgment and the need to keep looking for results. I think everyone might recognize that need for striving that is within a lot of us, and this can actually help us manage that and really get off that trying to fix it mode. Like honestly, it took decades to become who we are today. So starting mindfulness isn't going to fix it in a minute. It's a journey that can be quite subtle, she's sharing, you know, and less obvious to the conscious brain. So it's sort of like really the attitude of non-doing and not judging and just doing. And that it, for each of us, it's really our own journey and how we go about this, how we experience it and what it is for us. Oh. And so if you look at what she's talking about on page 25, she mentions about creating space, but actually says really the space is actually already there. The space is infinite. And how I took that to mean is that really we're mindfully becoming aware of what's actually present, finding the gap in that busyness of our life and where our attention habitually goes, and finding that infinite space. And I feel like that's the benefit of being able to get into this mindfulness practice, is that we find those gaps of what's really present, the infinite space and beingness. And one of the interesting points I thought she shared is about humans being rather than humans doing. Like, we are humans being. And what does that really mean for us? When actually most of the time we're humans doing, which is, you know, trapped in habitual busyness and rushing around and doing and all of that. And in all of that, we forget, actually, what does the being, what does being mean in that? And she says it's not really about spacing out or vegetating, not even altered states. It's literally being with awareness, coming here and now into this moment with awareness and training ourselves to get focused, effective, and productive in our awareness right now. So that's what I took from all those first few pages of this section.
Did you apply any particular practice and mindfulness that you can share?
I applied focusing on my breath. I do a morning practice every day of mindfulness awareness, and I find it's really powerful for actually helping me go into deeper states when I'm doing it more fully. But when I was just practicing just before, I became really aware that I was focusing on my breath and then hearing the rushing, like what she's talking about is the busyness. I could feel this busyness wanting to take my attention away, like the list of things I have to do, which feels, you know, great to get them done. And then it's like, I felt, okay, good. I'm aware of the busyness. But then I realized I'm not focusing on my breath, even being aware of my own mind and my own busyness. And then I'm like, focus on my breath. So it's great for just seeing everything that's there. So, you know, it's powerful. It's really, really powerful. It's just subtle and hard to look at sometimes because you just go, oh, that's not where I want to be.
Yes, but then you're kind to yourself, right? You say you're doing it. You're doing your best, right? That's what we say.
Exactly. And
with this, I want to say, because you say you do this in the morning. I can only share with those of you who I can truthfully say this has been a compass for me. Mindfulness become a compass that has helped me reach extraordinary realms of awareness, okay? And it's something you want to find throughout the whole day. Like I said, I'll do it when I'm in traffic and usually I would become very impatient or whatever. And I do it before I really get the mindfulness in before I start my work or whatever the point is. And I like it here where she actually says on page 24, it's good to have an idea of your intention in practicing mindfulness. So, you know, if we get up in the morning and we know where we want the day to go, chances of us actually piloting that to an end, you know, an ending is absolute. But if we get up and at random, we just know we got to go to work. That's too vague. Too much can get in there. So being mindful of our intention and actually going over it in our mind and being thoughtful of it. That's what I take right into every space that I declare. Everything I do becomes a space in space. And I do that by mindfulness and putting myself in mind of what's happening right now that wasn't happening maybe just a second ago. And that begins to put me in a space that is new and a different space. So this is good to hear. And I would like to see you report how much more you include, because you're actually, because you're an empath as well, you're dealing with other people's pain and sorrow all day. So having a way to put this so that you're not connecting to that, but actually projecting healing and not personalizing. It's real good. All right, we're going to bring in Rosemarie Heyer, who is in Germany. Rosemarie, it's in the middle of the night or the day or whatever there. So we're happy that you joined us. Can you pick it up for us?
Yes, sure. Thank you. Yes, she's now introducing a practice called pause, and I'm really happy that I can share about that because that's what I have been really working on practicing. And basically, we have two forms. You know, one of the way of mindfulness is that we are having a formal meditation, and that's where we are cultivating basically our ability to be present, and that is usually 5 to 10 minutes or more. And then there's another way of mindfulness, and that is when we actually move into the daily life. And the daily life is permeated by what we experience in our formal meditation. And what we do is we pause many times during the day, maybe for a second or maximum a minute, even very short, and especially when we are really busy and in automatic pilot. So, and we become aware of what's going on right now, first in our body, in our mind, and in our environment. And then we just simply move on. And she's quoting an American Buddhist nun, Purma Chodron, and she wrote a book called Take a Leap. And I'm just reading from that quote, just a part of it, not all of it, where it says, we can use our days to wake up rather than go back to sleep in automatic pilot. Give this approach a try. Make a commitment to pausing throughout the day and do whenever you can. Do that whenever you can. And there's a little guidance she has for a practice. But before I go into that, I would like to finish that part and say that of course, that a practice of daily pauses, of constant pauses, goes hand in hand with the meditation. In the meditation, she says, we are actually learning to be present. And once we train our mind, then the day is permeated by that. So, and I don't know if you want me to read that or share my experiences.
We'll read and share your experience, but okay. It's important that
yeah, so she's saying, she's saying that a pause. So stop reading and just take a few seconds to notice whatever is right here, right now. Your body, your thoughts, and emotions. The environment around you. Any sights, sounds, or smells. Take a few mindful breaths, being aware of the movement of the breath in and out of your body. Then carry on. I use that quite a lot, and I really enjoyed it, and I used it as an anchor, and we later come to these anchors. I used it a lot while I was in the car and out the car. I actually put a little note in my car, and whenever I entered the car, I did mindfulness, and whenever I left the car, I did mindfulness, and I was pretty much in the car in the last days. And I used it in other places, which reminded me. And as Marion shared, first I got really confronted with what is there. I really appreciated to connect first with the body. That was for me the quickest and fastest way to get into the present, like, you know, noticing your feet, noticing your hand. And I put my hand on my belly, and that's how I was able to connect with my breathing in and out. And I also felt confronted with that I had that racing feeling inside of me. And I have this thought that I might have a tendency to high blood pressure because it really felt like that. And then also the it was amazing, the stream of thoughts which were present. I mean, it was just amazing. And of course, I immediately got into fixing it. I calmed down. And then I remembered that she says in the book, no, it's not about working on the thoughts or changing anything. It is really about just being present. So I had to get to this. And on the positive side, I really felt after a few days that that really intense rushingness and an intense feeling of being rushed and in urgency subsided more. And also I felt that I was quicker aware when I was an automatic pilot. I mean, there was really a little like a door opening, you could say, like the door opened a little bit. And I made it a purposely thing with a number so I could stay focused. So I said to myself, I do it at least a minimum 5 times, maximum 9. And of course, by the time I will increase it more. And so for me, this small pause thing is really something I love a lot. And I will really integrate it much more and in many places, in many situations.
Okay, thank you very much. That's really good. I like the idea of what that you put the little note in the car. I think that's really cool. You know, I'm gonna have to
all these little red notes everywhere.
That's so cool. Very, very good. Okay, we're gonna let the professor Mike Dallara actually do a teaching. His next step on your pause button, he's gonna talk a little bit about creating and doing the pause button. So, Mike, you want to pick it up from there?
Sure. In fact, Rosemary, I think, gave me the perfect segue with her discussion on the pause button and her little note there, because what I want to do with everybody is just kind of run you through a little something that'll help you trigger those pause button moments, if you'd like. So this is something that I want you to do now. Okay, so we're going to stop. Pick up your pen as we're doing this and write this down. So you're going to pick some kind of trigger. So this is something that you do like frequently during the day. So it could, or something that happens, let's say frequently during the day, so that each time it happens, you will go, pause and immediately go into your mindfulness routine for a couple of minutes. So this could be a sound you hear often during the day. You know, it could be like every time the phone rings or, you know, you hear a car alarm if you happen to live in Manhattan, some of those kind of things. So something that you hear that could happen, you know, relatively frequently during the day that will help ring your bell, so to speak. Or it could be a visual clue. It could be like a sign or an image, or, you know, every time you turn around and look at your computer again for the first time after having been away, that'll be the sign, like as grandmother shared, she does. Every now and then, give appreciation to your computer, or every time you pick up your phone, or just something that's a visual clue that when you see it, it's like, oh, okay, I got it. Or it could be an activity, you know, maybe every time you get up and go to the bathroom, maybe every time you wash your hands, maybe every time, you know, you put on your mask, take off your mask, whatever it is, wherever you live, you know, anything that you're doing something on a regular basis, make that part of your pause button routine. So that's the, you know, the exercise. So the idea is pick one of those clues, pick one of those cues, excuse me, and write it down. So either something you hear frequently, a visual clue, or an activity, or if you're really ambitious, pick more than one, you know, and you'll get that many more opportunities. And write it down, and then start, you know, like right after we get off this call, to start implementing it. Every time it happens, just stop, be mindful for a couple seconds. And it's a great way to make sure you integrate those pause button moments. So the last thing that maybe I just wanted to share was just in this section, what it is, to summarize what we've gotten out of this section is four major points that were made so far was that mindfulness creates space for being rather than just doing. We heard that earlier. And that if you allow time for being, it will help your doing be more productive. Set aside time for that formal meditation practice, even 5-10 minutes a day is a good start. And also train yourself to create those little cues in your day that remind you of those pause moments and do your pause mindfulness sessions. And that's what I had to say. But I do, at some point in later, I have a question I'd like to get some clarity on. Grandmother, if you could give me a chance at some point.
All right. You can't ask it now?
Sure I can.
Okay.
Okay, so you talked about our experiences. One of the experiences that I've been running into is I would do the mindfulness and I would start maybe with my feet and feel my feet and work up my body and do that whole thing. And then it happened that I was sitting outside doing this, so I realized, wait a second, I can also expand this past my body to the sounds and start being mindful of all of the little sounds, the bee beside me. And so I brought in all the sounds, and that was like really cool. It was like, now I've got mindfulness in 3D, you know? And so as I was bringing in more and more of it, I started to realize that I became mindful of these sounds. My mind was like flipping around back and forth here, there, and everywhere. And I went, what the heck did I just accomplish? So I'm as wired as I was when I started this whole thing. So I'm a little confused about mindfulness on a specific thing and mindfulness and being overly aware. They seem to be like active versus passive. And I'm trying to resolve that. And when I went through all that this last few days, then I read page 23, where it says, forget it all, don't let anything, don't have any, you know, just be, let it be. So I'm confused right now, I guess. Okay.
All right. First and uppermost, when we're doing mindfulness, what is the task? What is the thing that we have to accomplish first? And that's to be detail specific. Okay. So I would suggest in the beginning of this not to just go out and let it all take in an environment instead of just a thing in the environment. And that's just because at that point you're exercising and developing those neurons. Okay. So I would discipline myself and not set myself up like that, because you kind of set yourself up when you said you just wanted to hear everything around you. But I would focus on, start working on the little details, because those are the things that need to be reinforced. That's why I said, when you start this mindfulness, you'll find successes in things that you'll never stop doing it. Because the minute you stop doing it, you actually start losing it. Okay, so it has to be an active thing we're doing all the time. I have become the state of a full mindful day. I do this automatic. I'm habitual in it. Okay. And one of the things I want to share, though, that you remind me of when you said this, okay, a student about 3 years ago, she was very, very sensitive, but she had just started awakening to her perceptive abilities. And so, and not really believing them, because she actually was a nurse and very practical nurse, and everything had to be clinical. And so a friend had brought her to one of the particular programs and things, and she'd gotten a little bit of interest, and she started. And I realized she's a mindful person, because you're bringing her from the clinical world to obviously the imaginative. Okay. So anyway, we started with that. And in one of the occasions, she, like you, she had decided, okay, I do this and I'm not really being able to hold it very long. Well, first and uppermost, don't set yourself up to do this for 20 minutes. Your success rests anywhere from 1 to 3 minutes, for crying out loud. And if you can successfully do it in that 1 to 3 minutes, now you got something to work with. But if you're trying to take it on for 20 minutes and frustrating yourself way beyond the ability to do that, you're lost already. Okay. So take it on 1 minute, take it on 2 minutes, take it on three. The point is be in the now, right now, for however long. And then that you got it. Okay. Then you're going to build from there. So anyway, she started, she'd been able to accomplish it with flowers. She could focus on a little flower, the face of a little flower, and she would look at every particular part of it. And for that amount of time, she had the interest just in that flower. But as soon as she investigated all its intricateness, her mind was off someplace else in it. So she said, I need more space. And so she shared with us in the statement with that, she decided to shut her eyes and actually just allow herself to be totally, attached and connected to everything, like the birds, the traffic, the whatever. And as soon as she centered herself for that, now remember, she'd been practicing this for a few months already. Okay. As soon as she centered herself in that, she began to hear a conversation. And she said the conversation at first, because she had her eyes closed, she said, I thought somebody had walked up and was standing next to me having a discussion. And I thought, how rude. You know, you just walk into somebody's space like that and do that. And so she listened to it for a few minutes. And then she opened her eyes. There was nobody. Okay. Then she went back in, not quite as successful, but she started again picking up little bits of a conversation. So then she got up and she just decided to give it up. When she got up, she walked out around the corner and a place probably a good 50 feet away from her, two men were standing there having this conversation. She actually perceptively picked up that conversation. So for a lot of you who feel that you have never had really control of your gifts and you do have certain perceptions, mindfulness is the way to fine tune them. And when you focus on a perception, once you get, like I said, don't start to run until you can crawl here, okay? Do the individual little perspective items and focus on that till you get your strength. And then you start growing with it and their focus becomes more expansive. And then you'll find, and it does for me all the time, all of a sudden your perceptive qualities come into the picture automatically. And do as she did. Actually, she listened. She stood back for a while and listened to these two men and realized those were the voices she was hearing. And that was the conversation she was in. Okay. And so she proved to herself that she was perceptively picking that up. It actually strengthened her perception because now she had evidence. Okay. And stuff like that. This is the good of the mindfulness, but mindfulness is based on you being in present time right now. Okay. And being totally focused on one thing. And then you have to build that neuron from there. Okay. Thank you very much, Mike. And you're a delightful teacher. I think you've met your calling when you went there and started teaching the students. Very good. All right. Let's go to Geraldine. And Geraldine, can you come out of the woods long enough to talk to us about breath?
Yes, definitely. And this is part 5 in the book. And I love the very first sentence that says, breathing is the most basic human function. To know we are breathing is to know we are alive. And when I read that line, it gave me a quick snapshot of a time in a hot air balloon over the Nile and realizing that water is life. And it was absolutely chalk and cheese. There was this beautiful green line. And when I read, to know we are breathing is to know we are alive, that beauty came with that. And to remind us that as we breathe, it really, we may take it for granted because we don't go and fill it up from a tap, but here it is. To know breathing is to know we are alive. And then it goes on to say, it's not surprising that it's been around for millennia. Now, I looked up the word millennia. We use it all the time, but I realized I went slightly out of present time, out of focus when that word came up. So I looked it up, and the word milli is Latin for 1,000. So it just means 1,000 years. And we use it generally to say something that's been around thousands of years. So this is old stuff, breathing. And knowing about breathing is old stuff. And it's not especially mystic, is what it also says here, which we would think if we're breathing, it's not mystic. It's how we are. But a key thing on this page is it says you can train yourself to use the breath as a haven. Now, again, that's beyond religion, beyond time, beyond gender, beyond anything. You can train yourself. And I think this goes to what was being said earlier as well. It's about training. It's about, we said about being, but there's also a doingness while we get ourselves there. And mindfulness is when we actually say, okay, I'm breathing. And it gives us a breathing exercise, which we can actually go through. It's just 5 minutes, and it looks like we have time in this show. So if that sounds all right, I'd like to go ahead and read the points of this exercise. And I do note that the last point says, if your mind goes off, you can bring yourself back with kindness and good humor. So if you're actually doing the practice as I read it, remember that point. Okay, are we ready? We're going to take a seat. So it says, take your seat. Come into a posture which feels relaxed and awake with a tall spine. Let your shoulders drop and your hands rest on your thighs. Close your eyes and keep them open with a downward gaze. Whichever feels most comfortable. Feel the weight and gravity of your body. Notice the sensation where your buttocks connects with the chair or cushion and where your feet or ankles make contact with the floor. Spend a few moments exploring these sensations. Being with your breath. Bring your attention to the movement of your breath, wherever you feel it. There's no need to change the way you're breathing or doing anything special with breath. Just let it be as it is. Tune into the physical sensations of breathing, not thinking about breath, but being with it. Allow the breath to breathe itself. See if you can be with the breath all the way in and all the way out. You can imagine you're riding on the waves of your own breath if you find this helpful, bringing back your mind. You'll find that your mind wanders off from the breath. That's not a problem. The mind naturally wanders. You may find yourself daydreaming or worrying, replaying a conversation or running through a shopping list. Whenever you notice your mind has gone off, gently return your attention to the breath. If your mind wanders from the breath 100 times, just bring it back 100 times. If you can escort your awareness back to the breath with kindness and good humor, this is the practice. Not keeping the mind fixed in one place, but bringing the mind back over and over. Use the breath as an anchor to bring you back to here and now, to this moment. Take a moment to write down anything you notice during your practice of mindful breathing. So we do highly recommend you get the book because you can read through that anytime yourself. You could even record it for yourself and listen and follow your own voice as you do that practice. And one of the things I can share through doing it was one of the first things that happened was an increased awareness of sound. And I was fortunate to be sitting by the ocean, and it was sound that was very present. And I realized that when I was sitting like that, there are so many sounds in just the waves themselves. And then after a time, yes, my mind went to other things. It went, as she said, in the another section there, from fast forward, and there's this wonderful pause button, so we could pause it. It meant that I didn't have to solve what was in fast forward, and as the words say, we could bring back with kindness and good humor, back to the waves, back to the breath, and back to the breath. So that's a little sharing of what I found. Definitely the other senses turned up for that short time of mindful breathing.
All right. Very, very good. Very, very good. Okay, we're going to move on to Joyce, and Joyce is going to cover for us, is your breath boring? Okay, well, if it's boring, that's too bad. It's with stop, but you don't have any life at all, right? So better to be bored, right? Okay, Joyce, tell us what that means.
Yes, I thought that was a fabulous way to start this particular section, because more than boring, do we take it for granted? Do we just assume that the breath is going to keep happening? So I really have kind of pondered over them even using that word. Yet, I realized quite recently I was doing a task that I wasn't coping with very well and not getting it completed. And I let my breathing actually be almost out of control. So it was such an incredible example. Thank goodness I had a friend standing nearby, and she guided me into taking some deep breaths, because I wasn't going to get my job done any faster, and I wasn't going to find a solution by getting into this sort of panic stress mode. So I think that's something that we really need to ask ourselves. Do we take it for granted? Yes, the breathing will continue, but when we start managing our breath and do this daily, this isn't something that just occasionally when you are in a crisis or stressed, you doing it daily, then the stress doesn't actually ever build up, because it's an automatic thing to move right into taking control. And I love the fact that she uses these two words, be curious about your breathing and inquisitive about your breathing. And for fun, I looked up the word inquisitive, because that particular word means you are extremely curious. You're not just mildly curious. So I would think we all need to be very inquisitive. I think we need to put our detective hats on and really start exploring, how do we individually make use of this amazing ability of our bodies to take in oxygen and give it back carbon dioxide, so that our body cells all get fed oxygen and they all will produce in a way that we want them to. So I invite you to do a couple of these exercises with me right now. The breathing in the nostrils I found was interesting, because in this warm climate of Arizona at the moment, when I did this exercise, I did not get a sensation of feeling cool air. So it would be good to go, I don't know, you can go to a restaurant where they have a cooler, go and stand inside their big refrigerator or something, so that you get this different sensation of taking the air in. And then your body actually warms it and lets it back out again. And then getting your belly involved is so, so, so important. I love to say to people when I'm working as a nurse, teaching them how to use their breath more, to pay attention to children. And they, a small child up to about 6-7 years of age, their whole body is involved with the breath. Well, you and I need to have our whole body involved with breath too. So lie down somewhere comfortably, put a piece of paper or whatever you want on your belly, and make sure it is moving when you breathe in and breathe out. So it's just a simple way to be that inquisitive person, that extra curiosity, and be your own detective. So these are all fabulous extensions to what Geraldine has already covered. that you want to actually, when you breathe out, picture it dissolving out into the atmosphere. So you've taken air in, and that was air from the atmosphere, and now you're giving it back out. So can you kind of get the feeling that it's being processed through you? You've made really good use of it, and now it's dissolving out into the universe. And my mind could go in a number of directions on that, on how we can send energy out through that. So they do finish off here on page 34, just reviewing that you want to get in touch with the sensations of your breath. And remember that you want your whole body involved. Look at the children in your life and see how the way they breathe is how you want to breathe.
Very, very good. A delightful presentation of that, Joyce. Actually, very delightful. Okay, let's talk to Trina there in Denver. And how's the weather there, Trina?
Oh, today it was getting warmer. It was nice and cool yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Today, we're just in that summer pattern. Hot, 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 get it cool. Get hotter, 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 make it cool. So, yeah, it's enjoyable, though.
I think always of my visits there with you and your family, where we would go out to the forest and the trees and the grass. Not something we have a lot of here in Arizona, for sure. But sometimes when I'm very taken with the heat, as Joyce says, it's not really a good experience to expect cool air when you breathe in Arizona air. Okay. But you can feel the warmth if you're looking for it. All right. So I always think about those times we were sitting under that big tree. Remember, we went to some park and there was a huge big tree that actually shaded all of us. And I remember being there and appreciating the tree and how beautiful the land and everything was. So some of my mindfulness when I'm doing the breath brings me back to you and that tree. Beautiful.
Oh, it was a beautiful tree and a beautiful mountain view. It was just really pretty there. Yeah, I remember that.
The grass was so comfortable, so very comfortable. Okay, let's take it on here. Is your mind busy? Really? You think so?
Oh my goodness. Busy, 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 busy. Our minds just never quit. And one of the things that she brings up here is that a common reaction from people is that, you know, that they say, oh, let's go into mindfulness. And they go, I can't do that. My mind's all over the place. And you got to remember, one of the things she asked you to do in this book was to be open and keep working at it. Don't give up just because you got a whole bunch of monkey chatter going on in your head. So basically, when you begin to meditate, when you begin to start working with mindfulness, it's really a shock to know exactly how many thoughts are running around in your head. They're like everywhere, and they take you from one place to the other. And one of the things that happens is the more you try and calm down in the beginning, the crazier your mind can get. So it's really important, and Mary Ann shared that earlier, that all of a sudden she was off on some adventure when she tried to get, you know, focused and calm on her breath. So it just is what it is. It's who we are as human beings. And so the really cool part of this is that this gives us a chance to continue to train ourselves to bring ourselves back to focus on the breath or focus on whatever we're doing. So we just notice and we come back. And we're okay with it. And sometimes I even laugh at myself how crazy it gets. Instead of being frustrated, just sort of laugh at yourself and say, yeah, I'm human. That's what happens. So in mindfulness, we really don't see the thoughts as a problem. And we're not trying to get rid of them. We can just say, okay, thinking, and let's come back to what we wanted to focus on. And you know, we're really creative beings. So that's one of the things that happens. So we just allow and we notice the thoughts and we let them go and we bring ourselves back to our focus. And then we notice the thoughts again, we let them go and then we bring them back again. And it's all good and it's all okay and it's all practice. So think of it that way and be happy about it, because basically your mind's giving you a chance to continue to practice and practice and practice. So there's a little note on the bottom of page 34 that says, mindfulness is not about having a mind that is empty and blank. Your mind will have lots of thoughts, and that's okay. So we're really happy and we're okay with the fact that we've got these little busy thoughts showing up. So the next piece on page 35 says, take your seat. And this is getting into the practice and explaining a little bit about the importance of the sitting, the posture, and what you're actually doing. So the very first thing they said is, you know, with meditation, a lot of people think of that lotus position with people sitting there with crossed legs and their legs up on their thighs, maybe with their hands in like a mudra position. And, you know, it's more important that you sit, that you're comfortable, and you can work your way into it. But like she said, a lot of us don't have hips and knees and things that work that way. And it's okay. We need to find our own comfortable position. So you can use a chair, but if you use a chair, use one with a firm back, firm seat, sit with your feet flat on the floor. And if your feet don't touch, put something underneath your feet. And ideally you want to support your spine so that it's straight up and down, but self-support it, not lean way back in the chair. Just gently lean back if you need it. Or one of the things I do is I do put a pillow a lot of times behind my lower back because it helps me keep my spine straight. If you want to, you can sit on a cushion. They have meditation cushions. Or if you want to take one off your couch or chair, make sure you put something firm underneath it and that it boosts you up a little bit, because you're going to sit cross-legged with your ankles on the floor and you want your knees to be lower than where your hips are. And sometimes she said, even if you have stiff hips, you may want to actually boost that cushion up on a phone book or something else so that you're sitting up maybe even 8 to 12 inches higher than where your knees are. And if that's a comfortable position for you, use that. Other people use kneeling, and they'll kneel down and they'll put a cushion under their buttocks between their thighs, and they'll sit on that, resting their shins on the floor on each side of the cushion, or they'll get a meditation stool and they'll use a stool. But each one of these positions helps you keep your back straight and helps you align yourself better in order to do the mindfulness and meditation. Now, posture is another thing she talks about here. And in posture, she says, you know, when you're a kid, everyone says, sit up straight. Well, in mindfulness and meditation, that's important because you've got a flow of energy in your system. And what she says in here is that if your body is slumping, then your mind's slumping. If your body is strong and tall yet comfortable, then your mind is going to feel higher, enlightened. So it's the same thing. You want to be uplifted and you want to be awake. That's one of the reasons why we don't lay down, because we go to sleep. And the idea is to be awake and aware. So sit when you do this. Again, good posture. Have a firm base. Sit on your seat. Buttocks on the chair or cushion, feel your feet on the floor or your ankle or your shins, whatever's touching. Be very alert. Your spine is tall. Imagine yourself lifting your head up like you're a mountain peak, like you're on a throne, or maybe just imagine a little string that's pulling you up or a beam of light or something that you're just going to pull yourself up and hold yourself up, comfortable though. And make sure that you're comfortable, that you're not rigid, that your shoulders are relaxed, that your hands are relaxed in your lap. Rest them on your thighs. The front of your body should be open, not slumped over, but open and relaxed. Let your jaw be loose. Let your face relax. And if your eyes are open, look downward in front of you, a couple feet ahead with a really soft gaze. So the idea then, and we can practice this for a minute, just feel yourself sitting where you're sitting, noticing your feet on the floor, holding your spine erect,
But relax your shoulders, relax your jaw, relax your face. Allow your hands to rest comfortably in your lap. If you want your eyes closed, that's okay. And if they're open, just have a soft gaze a couple feet in front of you with a focus. And then just bring your attention to your breath and just begin to breathe. Now, if breathing is difficult for you, recognize some people have an issue physically with breathing, and that's okay. If you feel, as you focus on your breath, you feel a little panicked, that's okay too. It's just your body reaction. You can come back to it and just gradually take your time. Like grandmother had said, start with a minute, gradually increase to maybe 3, gradually increase to 5. Just take your moments and just bring your awareness into your body. That's another great practice, is just get in touch with your body. Notice any tensions, notice any tightness, notice how it feels. And finally, at the end of this section, there's a reminder. Your breath is available to you at any time as an anchor to bring you back into your body and into the present moment. And there's a little exercise here. They ask you to mindfulness of breathing throughout the week. So now that you've tried mindful breathing, see if you can practice it again through the week. Set aside a few minutes for formal practice, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you can manage. But you can also bring your awareness to the breath anytime during the day, anytime that you want it. Just noticing that you're breathing, a few breaths, and again, breathe a couple breaths and then move on to whatever you're doing.
Thank you so much. That's really good. Good coverage. Very good coverage. We're kind of running ourselves out of time. So we actually won't be able to finish the other part, the other chapter of the book we were going to cover. We'll start with that next week. But I thank all of you. You have done fantastic at bringing the practices in. It's not, I would say to our listeners, it's not real easy for us to actually get involved in this particular kind of experience, to allow you to experience with us. But I feel we've been very successful with this, and I feel many of you are already responding on my text, so I appreciate your response, and we're loving it. We're loving that you're loving what we're doing. That's what we do it for. Okay, so we'll see you next week, and it would be great if you went on and read the particular chapter in your books, those who've got books, and the one part about brushing your teeth, and see how easy it is to just get into making this a part of your whole day. I feel, and probably would have some discussion next week about actually feeling what my feelings are in regard to what you just shared, Trina. I believe there's a bit too much formality in that for the new beginner. And I, again, think it also, we have to consider that doing sessions of mindfulness will go longer than the 2-3 minutes that I suggested. But what you have prepared them to prepare in doing this would actually be considered a session. I would like to see you get to this being more natural and something you can do throughout your day as well. So I appreciate all of that. Meanwhile, everybody have a wonderful, wonderful mindful week, and we'll catch you next week. Meanwhile, all good things. OCO.
Thank you for listening to Quantum Leap Book Club. For more information where you can contact us, go to loaradionetwork.com/quantum-leap. Have a great week.